All right, good singing all the way around. It's a blessing to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. Take your Bible, if you will, over there in the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 6. 2 Kings in chapter number 6. I hope you've had a good and prosperous day and the rest of this week. In 2 Kings chapter number 6, you find the place you're able to stand. Look in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. In other words, they need some more room or something. Let us go, we pray thee, and unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there that we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them, and when they had when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried, and he said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And therefore said he, Take it up to thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for all these requests that have been mentioned tonight, and we do thank you, thou God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Now, bless these reports tonight that we've had. I pray that, Lord, that you'll help those that are sick restore their health. Thank you for the good reports that already we've had. Thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to us, and your mercy and grace have been sufficient. Bless, I pray now, in Jesus' name, these that are here this evening. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on when we've lost our cutting edge. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, it's an example, no doubt, some many things, depending on which way you'd like to run with it, but there are some examples to the church. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you find is that here's a prime example of somebody that had power and had some cutting edge, and now all of a sudden it's gone and they lost it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible tells us is that you and I ought to be careful about taking God for granted, and of course, you know, God, he brought us and set us in a large place that we could have a stable standing with him according to the psalmist. But over there in the book of Jeremiah, Israel had gotten away from God more than one time. And let me tell you, they involved themselves in iniquity and idolatry and things of that nature. And no doubt, God brought other nations from afar to invade them, like we're being invaded ourselves in this country. But God brought other nations and invaded them. And the reason being is because of the fact is that he wanted to punish them. Over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, do not turn there, but in about verse number 13, the Bible said that Israel had committed two evils. One of them, they had forsaken the Lord God of glory. That's the first one. The second one, they hewn cisterns for themselves that could hold no water. In other words, it had too much that leaked in it. Sort of reminds me whenever I say that of the man that was standing up in church and he was praying, Oh God, fill me, please fill me, Lord, I just need filling. And his wife finally stood up and said, Don't do it, Lord, he leaks. Let me tell you right now is you're never going to find anything that's going to hold what God can give in the way of a thirst quencher, and that's namely the water of life. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you is that you'll find that what we must do is that we must recognize there's a difference between divine religion, holy religion, God-given religion, and man-made cisterns that can't hold any water. And I got to tell you right now is for the rest of your life, make no mistake about it, some of you boys and some of you girls, you're going to one of these days want to get married. More than likely, the person that you marry is going to come from lost, hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-determined families. You're going to have to make up your mind if you're going to let God plan your life or you're going to let them plan your life. If you let heathens make decisions for you, it'll be bad decisions every time. I mean, make no mistake about it. There'll be somebody using the wrong Bible. There'll be somebody got the wrong testimony. There'll be somebody and it'll be on and on and on, and you'll find yourself forsaking God and you and your own cisterns out that won't be able to hold no water. In the lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find is that there's a man of God that's mentioned by the name of Elisha. He's teaching the sons of the prophets, by the way, and we all need to be able to be taught some and to glean one from another. Like iron that's sharpened iron, that's the way we ought to be. And let me say to you that when you look into it, is that this man of God, Elisha, the mantle of Elijah had fell. He picked it up and no doubt is now about to run with that and take his place. And here's Elisha teaching those young men. And let me tell you what he does is he's teaching those brethren how to dwell together in harmony. You know, the Bible said that it's a blessed thing that you and I can be able to dwell together in harmony and so forth and on. And let me say to you that as a result, they've grown to the place where that they need a larger place to be able to meet, obviously, because the place they were meeting and how they were doing has become too straight, they said here in the Scripture. I want to say to you, sometimes there's a relocation going to take place, which is about to here. But let me tell you, God's never going to be the same. Never make a decision to relocate that'll put you farther away from God. Every time you get a job, first question you ought to ask, is it going to let me be closer to God or further from God? That's the first thing that ought to be asked. I mean, instead of how much money does it pay? I mean, if it pays enough money, I know you feel like you can be close enough to God already, but that's not the way that it happens. In this lesson you begin to look at, you'll find the man of God is there, and I want you to notice something about it, is that there's some things that we've got to get started right where we are. And what they did was is that they knew they were out of room and they needed to relocate. Now, in this lesson we're looking at, somebody said, why don't we one of these days just build a new building? Well, every time we get to the place that we couldn't put another one in, we'll make somebody bad, and they'll take a handful of, or and go with them. And as a result of that, you got plenty of room left. Most of the churches with the building program would have plenty of room if somebody just stand up and preach the unadulterated word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that sometimes people change. Sometimes things change around us, circumstances change. But God is ever going to be the same, and I don't care where you go and what you have to do next, God's ever going to be the same. Now, notice something in this lesson that we're looking at, is that you'll find out is that churches that started out days gone by with a humble beginning. I know some preachers right now that some of them are dead and gone. They said, you know, preacher, I remember when we started out and just had a real humble little old building of a thing. Just a frame building for the most part. My word, we had God everywhere. Now we've got the biggest, beautiful, most wonderful auditorium you ever seen, and God ain't nowhere. I don't ever want to get that way. I'm not against a nice building, a new building, and all that business there. Somebody walked in and said, hey, I'll give $500,000 to build a new building. We'll get started on it. But I don't want to get to the place to where that I'm ever ahead of God and to where that any change, whether it be your job, whether it be your building, whether it be your, you see what I'm talking about? In the lesson that we're looking at, God's ever going to be the same. It was not God that changed when Israel got to where she forsook God and then started hewing out cisterns that could hold no water. It wasn't God that changed, but it was they themselves that had gotten away from the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that this seemed like a good move. Seemed like that according to verse number 2 that they involved somewhat prayer. Seemed like according to the first couple of verses there when they said, let's go make a place. He said, well, go ahead and go. And they said, well, come and go with us. He said, all right, and I will. And so it seemed like everything's running real good and right on time. So the man of God, verse number 3 and 4, he goes with them. And let me tell you, every man, they're going to fail some beams. They're going to cut some trees down. And they're trying to get the material together. And everybody's trying to do their part, by the way. And they collectively are working and contributing to the cause and trying to fail those beams so that they can be able to build a bigger place and a new location. Now, I want to say to you that while they were there, they came to be able to cut wood. Now, I want to give you about four or five things. Number one, there's an axe involved here. I know some of you probably never have put blisters on your hand using an axe. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. As a kid growing up, you can't buy them anymore. And if you did buy them, they'd probably be a second rate, unless you could find a good used one. But we like to use a double bit true temper axe. And I don't know if that's the best one or not, but it's the best one we could afford when I was growing up. But you could get that thing filed down and sharpened on each side. And you had to watch what you was doing. You have to watch anyway what you're doing. Now, Dad, that's all he ever used. That's what I grew up using. And let me tell you right now is you can get down to business with it, and you can chop some stuff up and chop it in two and split it up and so forth and on. But I knew and went to school with an old boy, and all he had was a single-bitted axe. That means it had one blade to cut, and the other end was flat like a hammer. And let me tell you right now is that that's a lot safer to use. If you're out in the woods and you're chopping like this here and you're not watching what you're doing and you catch a vine or something, that thing will throw back on you if you don't cut it in two. It'll throw back on you and hit you in the head. I had a young man that was a classmate in school. His name was Lloyd Criswell. I don't know why I can remember him, but he was out there underneath the clothesline going to split wood. And when he came down with it, he'd had that, and it went right there, and it didn't cut that wire, and it throwed it back and busted his head open. Didn't kill him. It didn't kill him. But if he had had a double-bitted axe, it would have split it wide open. Now, these are men here that are using an axe. Bunnock guy obviously couldn't afford it. They were expensive commodities of that day. And this one man, obviously, he had to borrow one. And as a result, he did borrow it, and he's busy with it and going on and this and that. And as a result of that, you'll find it's no doubt sharp, and it's no doubt that he's making some headway with it. But not only is there an axe involved here, there's an awareness that ought to be involved here. Now, here's what the guy does. He's unaware that the axe head's becoming loose on there. Sounds like the average Baptist church, doesn't it? Unaware that there's a looseness that's taking place. You're about to lose your cutting edge when you go to getting loose like the world and going to, and you're not inspecting where you are and you're not looking at what you're doing. Well, this accident got loose. And boy, let me tell you right now, is he got to where, you know, when he had sling it down, instead of that sharpness making a bit, making its mark in that wood and chopping out a block and chopping more, then all of a sudden he comes down with it and it flies off the handle. And when it did, naturally iron that just sinks pretty quick. Man, here's a guy that's panicking. He's lost the ability of sharpness. He's neglected and not aware that it was loose. I can tell you right now is that the looser you get in this world and the more you become like the world is because you've not inspected the sharpness God gave you when he saved you and caused you to be able to know what the mind of God and the will of God is. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you what it takes is a good examination. I remember every now and again one of them old acts, like I was telling you, is that you'd be out there chopping, and if you didn't watch it, it'd go to working its way off a little bit. And you'd finally have to tighten it back up and put another screw or another wedge in it and try to get it ready to go and just kind of keep your eyes on it and see what you're doing like you need to do to yourself, like we ought to do to ourselves. Amen. Let me say to you that, if you will, that as a result, it's a wonder that it hadn't killed somebody. We're not going to turn there, but over in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 19, you'll find that one of the cities of refuge, that they had three on either side of Jordan. There were six of them that were mentioned. And that is, if a man didn't have hatred in his heart toward another one, but all of a sudden that he swung an axe and the head came off and killed a person, that he had a city of refuge that he might be able to go, and so the slayer couldn't get him and couldn't take him. Nobody's hurt here, nobody except for the fact that the axe head has been lost by this man. And let me say to you that the reason why that now he's able to get some help, he's acknowledged that it's lost. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? That when we get away from God, we get cold in God, we get loose with God, we're not willing to acknowledge it. As a result of that, he said, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed, it's fell into the water." And the man of God wanted to know, and here's what he said, if you'll be honest about it, I want to know exactly where it was that you lost it. Where was you whenever you became looser and lost the sharpness and the separation and the dedication? Where was it that you lost that? I was talking to somebody one time, and he said, you know, preacher, he said, I don't know. He said, I used to be on fire for God and living for God. You know, we were witnessing in their house and so forth and on. And I said, well, what happened that you got away from God? Just to be honest with you, I really don't know. I said, well, I can tell you where you can find him. I can tell you where you find him. You can find him down at the house of God, and those sheep of his are eating out of his hand like you used to. And if you'd come back to the house of God and let God speak to your heart, it might not be long till God would sharpen you back up again and tighten your axe back on the handle and put you back in business with God. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that he addresses in verse number 5, he said, alas, he said, as one was felling, the axe had fell into the water, and he cried, alas, Master! That's what we need to do is come to the Master. And boy, let me tell you right now, do you really want your cutting power and cutting edge back? Well, this old boy did. He cried out and wanted the Master to help him. And as a result of it, he said, where's the place? I'd like to know exactly where. And in verse number 6, you'll find that he says, and the man of God said, where fell it? Where'd you lose it at? And he went and looked at the place and so forth and on. And isn't it amazing how that Elisha now, and you're not going to do this, and I'm not being able to do this, he had miracles. He wanted a double portion of Elijah, and from all accounts, he was had probably twice the miracles, a double portion of what Elijah used to have. And oh, Elisha, here he is, cuts a stick. And let me tell you, there's an old wooden stick called the old rugged cross that Jesus was nailed on a tree. And let me tell you, that's the only thing that will ever be able to recaptivate and replace your cutting edge. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, he took hold of the axe. And let me say that if you'll avail yourselves of the grace of God, you need something from God, run to the cross with it, buddy. Let me tell you right now, is that stretch forth, he said, and take it. And the man did, and he took it, so forth and so on. Now, I want to say, if you don't take hold of the axe, then one of these days, while we turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 3 and about verse number 10, if you don't grab hold of the cutting edge that God intends for you to have, now, if you're not saved, you won't be anything but just like an empty axe handle and sound like a woodpecker beating around on a piece of wood in a tree trunk. But if you're a child of God, you'll be saved, and God will give you a sharpness and give you an information about the word of the Lord like you've never had before. In the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 10, let me tell you, if you don't take hold of what God's going to give you, then the axe, if you don't take hold of the axe, one day the axe will take hold of you. Look in verse 10. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And let me say to you, he took it. Over there in the book of 1 Peter, there's a passage that I want to look at, chapter 2 that I believe it is, in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. As we look there, it's in about verse number 2 that we're going to be looking at. Chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says in verse 24, chapter 2, verse 24, I don't know why I said 2. Bible said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God will never have to lay the axe to the root of this tree. But he saved me and snatched me as a brand from the burning. I remember the day that when God as much as said, by the old rugged cross, there's life everlasting for you. Grab hold of it. And let me tell you, when you grabbed hold of it, what a difference that he made in your life. Somewhere down the road in life, it may get dull a little. The head of your axe may be a little loose. There may be some looseness creep in, a little tightening up that ought to take place. That's something you have to decide. That's something you have to decide. And you know, the hardest thing in the world to do is for anybody to be able to decide that. It's easy to be able to see that in everybody else. But it's hard to be able to look back and see the need that we have in us. Here's a good idea. The next time that you want to be really mean or critical or just, I don't know, downright ugly about somebody or something, then look at your own life. Obviously, you're not going to condemn what you're going to be doing. But while you're condemning others, if your life's a mess, how's that working for you? See what I'm talking about? I mean, I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't. All right, well, how's all that working for you? There's a whole list of stuff that I used to not be involved in and do this and do that and so forth and on. And as a result of that, I sometimes get critical at the Lord. Why are you letting that go on with him for? I know you probably never have done that whatsoever. And you probably never lied either. I don't know about you, but I got enough on my plate between me and God to keep me busy. Now, if a brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. I mean, that's a Bible thing. We can't just go through life ignoring anything, but if you're so wrapped up about everybody else, you can't enjoy the Lord for yourself. You better check that axe head a little bit. That sucker's getting loose on you. And it won't be long. You'll completely lose your ability to have any cutting edge whatsoever. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable.